The following presentation was recorded at the 2012 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
All right, well, I'd certainly like to welcome everybody to this workshop. I appreciate your interest, and I trust that we can learn together. I certainly don't plan to do all the talking, okay? So you can prepare yourself. I don't know if you're ready for that or not, but this time it's going to be split with Alan Byler. I'm glad he's here. I'm going to have a little speech first. And then we're going to turn the time over to him. He's going to tell you some more things, and I think he plans to have a discussion. I can tend to be a little bit soft-spoken, so if you can't hear me, just let me know. I'd hate to do my thing and come to find out you didn't understand what I said. This workshop is geared for new board members. I think maybe not limited to that. By way of an introduction, I currently live in Arota, Virginia. We're currently trying to sell our house and move to an outreach sponsored by our church at Oak Grove Mennonite Church. And I'm probably one of the few people here that is not on a school board. My school board is experience is limited to 3 years or one term, with two of those years as a board chairman. I served for 2 terms, 6 years, on the Mountain View Nursing Home Board at Arota. Mountain View is a nursing home that our church owns, and a VS unit. So that's where I got most of my experience as a board member. I had the advantage of being on a board before I was asked to serve on our local school board. Now, how to assume leadership over what you don't know much about? The reason I was asked to share this topic was because they had a hard time finding anybody that knew less than what I do. So take comfort in the fact that you know more than what I did when I first started. In fact, you probably still know more than what I do now. I remember as a young married man with one child being nominated to serve on the Mountain View Nursing Home Board. Now, what do I know about nursing homes and VS units? Nothing. I didn't know anything. I remember wanting to vote with both hands for the other fellow on the ballot. Thankfully, for Mountain View and the church, there was other older, wiser men with experience that were there to guide me. That was a real learning curve for me there. One thing to remember, this is taken out of a book called Boards That Make a Difference by John Carver. The board is an organizational position goes on regardless of an individual turnover. An individual person becomes upon induction a part of a body that existed for some time. The policies and commitments of the boards do not change because a new person joined. The new person mounts a moving train. So just how do we get onto this moving train? We are oftentimes placed on a train suddenly and maybe not by our first choice. So regardless of the method that your church or school used to placing the train, you will not find yourself on a train and wondering what your place really is. If you can use this picture of getting onto a moving train, the more I thought about the job of a board, it's more like planning where the train is going. Picture yourself looking at a map and deciding where the best route is for the train to get to where it needs to go to accomplish the goals that are set for it. Now, I realize that's kind of a mouthful, but there's a huge difference in your view from the coach seat to the driver's seat. There's an even bigger difference in how you look at the train from a management position. In a management position, you sit and look at a computer screen and look at the big picture. So where are you sitting now? Where can you make the biggest difference? Where will your vision make the biggest difference? So if you're a new board member, how did you get started? So I'm assuming that everybody here has got some kind of a position. In our church cultures, we do not run for office. In fact, if you're like me, you would just be happy for the other guy to be elected. So you were elected to serve on your private school board. You're now responsible to your church, to your school, to make wise decisions. And of course, by church and school, we mean people. So how are you going to join a team that is already there? Are you going to rubber stamp everything at your first meeting? Or are you going to dictate everything from day one? So how are you going to become a productive board member? And with that, what is a productive board member? Now, first of all, assuming that you were elected to your position because of people having confidence in your judgment, I think that is something that we need to look at honestly. One reason you were elected was because you had because of confidence people have in you. You cannot be somebody else. As you start on your journey, you will not know the answers to all the questions that come your way. But you're going to be working as a team. You will help make decisions in a board meeting setting. And to do that, you will need to know some of the background of the things that are issues and have been issues. One thing that comes to mind in thinking about how to assume leadership, we cannot and may not be intimidated by staff and administration that have been there for a long period of time. Remember, you're looking through a different window than what they are. This is part of what we have boards for. We have a different perspective, okay? Now, my topic is not the responsibilities of a chairman, so I don't want to come across that way, but I think there's some things that are key to finding yourself acclimated and getting down to what your business really is. Here's just a list, and I'm going to go down through rather quickly, maybe. You should be handed a book with previous minutes from meetings. Make it your business to study the last year or so of issues. Become familiar with what's going on. That's your responsibility. What are some of the issues that the board has been dealing with and what has been decided in the past? Do you have a copy of your board's or school's policies? What are they? Do you understand them? Do you understand how your board works? In a lot of boards, the board is an extreme end of accountability chain. In the case of our church school, the board is directly accountable to the church and more specifically the ministers. And of course, that's going to vary from community to community. One key problem in our many boards is that they're either too weak to accomplish anything or so strong they wind up managing everything. So assuming that this topic is for first-time board members, how do I find my way in the board? What is my job and what do I do? I appreciated the topic yesterday that Brother Danny had on being, I forget what the exact title was, but what was his title again? Being an effective board member. Now I appreciated that topic. We're going to assume that your chairman is doing his job, okay? Hopefully he will be clear and specific in giving duties and responsibilities and give you a workload suitable to your ability and knowledge. And that's going to vary from person to person. We hope that you're joining a board that works as a unit where each member supports board decision and goals. The following are some guidelines for new board members. This is taken out of the Ideas and Checklist for Board Members by David L. Martin, published by Rod and staff. I recommend the book, and in fact, you can see the green book over there. I encourage you to buy that book. That's got some very good points. I'm gonna read a few things that come out of that book, and not be familiar with the school constitution and bylaws. Also familiarize yourself with the operation of the school. This requires regular attendance of all board meetings, visiting school, taking your turn in attending facility meetings. Being close enough to feel the pulse of the school will help you work more efficiently for the school. And acknowledge proper channels of communication and authority. It's the teachers under the authority of the board, so the board is under the authority of the church. Recognize that the ministry has a final word and be ready to share with them. Take part in board decisions, and if I can just put in some of my own words right here. This is a big one. Take part in the board discussions, okay? Don't just sit there. Ask questions. In our particular board setting, we try to make it a point of, if we're discussing an issue, going around the room and hearing everybody out. And when you're asked to, don't just say, yeah, I agree, or some off-the-cuff thing. I mean, tell us what you think. That's how you come to decisions, by doing your part. Continuing to read here. Be open to ask questions and present ideas. At the same time, be sensitive to the consensus of the board. The board may have arrived at their consensus by past experience and happenings that are unknown to you. Now, keep board discussions confidential. The board sometimes needs to talk about people. But this is never to be handled as public knowledge. The discussions are only for the benefit of the board in reaching decisions and conclusions. Always safeguard the integrity of those involved. I have a few thoughts out of Boards That Make a Difference, that book I referenced earlier. That is a good book, too. It's by John Carver. I'm not sure where to find it as far as it's a, quote, commercial book. Orientating new members can help institutionalize the board's governance process and prepare new members for immediate participation. Orientation is important enough to be a mandatory step rather than an optional exercise. If you think about it, new board members that are ignorant of the policies should not be helping to make decisions until they understand what the policies are. And I would hope that getting educated and understanding what the what your school's visions and goals and policies will be a high on your priority list. Okay, so when you're elected, if you don't know it now, that's one of the first things that you do is go home and what are our policies? Talking about vision, we need to understand our school's vision. However, we also need to have a vision of our own. I remember that after being on the board, older than myself, brother in the church, asked me to give him a paper with my vision for the school. It was a good exercise. Besides being a board member, you may be a businessman, a farmer, a tradesman, or whatever. And or you may be a father. This is as important a job as any. We expect you to be a brother in the church with your life in order. We need to learn to apply what common sense you have to work with the board. Whatever kind of a board it is that you have become part of, you will need to learn how to work with different people on the board. Not all boards are the same. You know, we could take any three people here, three or more people here, and we could pretty soon put us as a board together. Now, it would be important that we have a common desire to work together. You know, we have no desire to work together. It'd be a sorry board. What would that mean that we would agree on all things? No. Would that mean that we would, that just because we cannot agree on an issue that we should write each other off? And there again, the answer is no. On a board, we discuss an issue and we come to a common agreement. That's maybe easier said than done. But that is really the basics of a board. There's a small group of men that are responsible to look after the school. Now, here's a partial list out of that book, out of David Martin's Ideas and Checklists for Board Members. I just grabbed a few, not that one's totally more important, but just an idea of what some of the things you should be thinking about. Part of your responsibilities will be to look after building and grounds. Here's an important one. Knowing the workings of the school well enough to be able to talk intelligently about them at board meetings, okay? So whatever it takes for you to figure out what it takes to have an intelligent conversation, it would be pretty difficult for me to have an intelligent conversation about your particular school needs because, you know, they're not just the same as the ones in Oak Grove or whatever. Now, the next one could depend on how your school is set up. Guide and correct and show appreciation to the teachers. Provide communication between parents and teachers as needed. Establish school policies. Interview process patrons. Manage the finances of the school. Screen and hire teachers for school. Now, you will find this in this. This is where I got the next statement. Remember, it's like finding a spouse, because your children will have to live with whoever you choose. Now, give the matter some thought and prayer. Now, one thing that gave me great confidence in that score is that my children simply adore their mother. So, anyways. So, brethren, I know that you all heard this morning, but I don't know what you all heard this morning, but I believe that we apply a lot of things that we learn in life to the things that we deal with on school boards. We will make mistakes, so just be willing to admit to it. This is one important thing that you can take home with you. You will make mistakes, but you will own up to them and you will learn from them. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because that is how we learn. I appreciate your attention, and I'm going to turn the time over to Alan.
Thank you, Wayne. I don't know what else to say. He pretty well covered it all, didn't he? How many of you are fairly new on the board? Maybe your first or second year? Okay. Thank you. How many of you have been on a long time? Okay. Very good. Some of you probably chuckled when you saw this title, How to Assume Responsibility Over What You Don't Know Much About. That sounds kind of trite and silly, doesn't it? And honestly, when we as a planning committee saw that suggestion, we chuckled a while too. But the more we thought about it, the more we said, hey, that's really where we find ourselves sometimes. New members on the board, we don't know how to act. So it's a pretty good description. And speaking of discussion, in a few minutes here, that's what I like to do. I like to turn this thing into an open discussion. You know, we can learn so much from each other. And that's one of the purposes for a meeting like this. We can hear each other's experiences and learn from them and become better for them. So after I'm done with my spiel, we're going to do that. Here are a few suggestions that, and some of these already been mentioned by Brother Wayne. Visit your school frequently. It does two things. First of all, it helps you to get a feel for the school spirit, the school culture. And what I mean by that is sometimes on a particular day, children will maybe feel a little silly. Or maybe they're studious that day. I mean, they're really into their lessons. And it gives you an opportunity to feel the atmosphere of the school. The second thing it does, it lets the teacher and the students know that you really care about them. And you're here to monitor, to evaluate, and to help them. And while you're there, here are a few things you can do. I think it was mentioned earlier about look for opportunities to interact. If it's recess time, join in. I was there at the school not long ago, and one of the boys invited me to help with recess, and I really appreciated that. Play with them, even the little ones. Take time to play with them. That's building relationships. Another experience I had was I was there one day over lunchtime, and the first grade teacher invited me to join them for lunch. And so we went outside and we sat on the foyer there, and they were eating their lunch, and I didn't have any lunch. And so what I did is just tell them a story, and they loved it. They just loved it. Opportunities to interact with the children. Something else I like to do is when I visit school is I'll sit in the back of the classroom and just watch the students working. And when a hand goes up, a student needs help, I like to go up and offer help to him, you know. And I said, what can I help you? And so he'll tell me his problem. Sometimes I can help, sometimes I can't, but at least I tried. See, that's building relationships with the students. And they like that. Let's see, there was another one I was going to share too. Oh, yes, there was this young fellow. I was sitting back in the classroom, and he was just sitting there dawdling. Everybody else was working. He was just dawdling. And I was trying to figure out what's going on here. So finally, I just went up and I said, Kevin, what's going on? What's the problem? He said, well, I'm supposed to write a story about one of these subjects, and I can't decide which one. And so I said, I think I would do this one. And he appreciated that. He just needed a little push to get going. Things like that you can watch for to build a relationship with the staff, with the students, and learn to know your school. And there's something else that is probably the most important thing of all, that is pray. You can pray for your school. You can pray for the teachers every day. Pray for the students every day. And along with that, you can, like was already mentioned, you can get copies of all the schedules. And I have a bunch of them here. I want to show you. Make sure you have a copy of the school schedule. I suppose most schools have a school schedule. And when you see on there, it says, okay, the next board meeting is on January 24th or March the 6th is our next one. Then you can be praying for that meeting, because you're going to be there. Pray for that meeting. Another one here is this is a chart that our principal makes up for us, an academic school year calendar, where you can just see at a glance the days you have school and the days we don't have school, and the 6 weeks are clearly marked out. Here's a student list. Get a copy of the student list of the grades and the teachers and how many students in each grade. And familiarize yourself with who's in what grade. And you can pray for them. Here's a copy of the hot lunch schedule. Now maybe that's more for the wife, for your wife to have a copy of that and make sure that you know what's going on the hot lunch schedule. Here is a school devotion schedule. I suppose most of you have parents come in to have Monday morning devotion. How many of you do that? Okay. And somewhere there's probably a schedule, so get a copy of that schedule, school devotion schedule. And then if you see that Brother Jerry is scheduled for devotions, you can pray for Jerry. Then here's, of course, the really important one. And this is the financial statement. Have a copy of that somewhere so you know what's going on with the finances. And as we heard, as you've heard before, it takes money, a lot of money to run a school. And that's one of the biggest problems in our Christian Day schools is finances. And we need to be involved in that. And we can pray for that. Here's another one. School board terms. Know when your term expires and know when your fellow board members' terms expire. This one says Alan Byler's term expires 2012. That's this year. So maybe I'll get out this year. Here's a payroll, a copy of the payroll, so you know how much these teachers are getting paid. Then, of course, like Brother Wayne already mentioned, a copy of the school guidelines and policies. This is a handbook that we put together. Familiarize yourself with that. All of these things are things that you can do as a new board member to really get into the school and become a part of it. For example, here it says, let's see, I just pick out one here. Children must be sufficiently mature and able to, this is for children coming to school, first graders coming to school, and this is what you should expect. The child must be able to sit and work quietly for a minimum of 15 minutes, and things like that. So familiarize yourself with the school policies and guidelines and the whole scope as much as you can. Learn as much as you can about the school and visit frequently. Find out what curriculum is being used. Build relationships with the teachers. Call them or catch them after church or whatever. And talk about things other than school sometimes to build a relationship with them. And this one may seem a little bit contradictory to what Wayne said, but listen more than you talk for the first couple years you're on the board. Because you're learning, right? You don't want to come on the board and then be, you know, running the show, because the other board members are going like, they're not going to appreciate that. When I was elected the last time on the school board, the chairman ahead of me asked me to be his secretary at the meetings. He wanted me to take notes of the board meetings and then type them up afterwards and have them back to him within 2 or 3 days. Now, Brother Ivan and I have been together since school day. He knows me very well. And I suspect, now he never told me this, but I suspect one reason he did that was because he knew that I'm very outspoken. And if I was taking notes, then I wouldn't have time to talk so much. And I saw that as an act of wisdom on his part. And so maybe for the first while we need to listen more than we talk. and yet we know what Wayne said. We also need to share our thoughts as well. Okay. Just a few more tips. Some of these have been mentioned. Attend meetings such as this to learn all you can about how a school should function. And there are books available, like he mentioned this one, for example. An excellent ideas and checklist for school board members. There's even a chapter here for the new board member on page 12. Even has that in there. Anything that you can do to broaden your knowledge and to get a feel of your school. And of course, all of this takes time and sacrifice. And all of you, I'm sure, have jobs. Y'all are busy. You have businesses or whatever. It takes time. And you need to be willing to sacrifice time. Now, someone has said that, should I say this? Okay, here we go. Someone has said that to be a board member, it takes the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, the faith of Abraham, and a little bit of Rockefeller's money. No, we don't need Rockefeller's money, but it takes money. And sometimes the board members get caught with those fall through the cracks things, you know, like when we go on when we go to CMTI to the meetings, if they're at a distance, and we usually stop for lunch to treat our teachers to a lunch. Okay, who's going to pick up the tab on that? We can turn it into the secretary, turn the bill into the secretary if we want to, or I like to just pick up the tab myself to save the school the expense. Things like that that you can do as a new board member. Be willing to give. Be willing to pick up the tab. You can afford it, probably. So do it. Things like that you can do that that will be a benefit to the school. Be willing to sacrifice. Okay. We're going to open it up for discussion from you all. Especially those of you that have, those of you that are senior members. What are some things you could tell these first-year fellows? Yes.
I'm going to ask another question.
Okay.
Why are so many of our parents or, you know, church members that are involved with the school, that have children in school, possibly have had children in school for maybe 12 years? Why are we so unknowledgeable of what's going on at school and we get put on the board and we don't know what's going on?
Okay.
What is that? Why is that happening?
That's a good question.
If our church is a part, if the school is the hand of the church, why don't we as parents know what's going on until we're put on the board?
Okay.
I'm exposing what happened to me when I got put on the board. That's what happened to me. I knew very little about what was going on.
That's exactly what we want to hear.
I've been on for several years, so yeah. But yeah, it's...
That's what we want to hear. Okay.
Was I the only one that ever happened to?
I doubt it. How can we help that? What can we do about that problem? What do you think?
Well, it can be a normal problem. In our situation, we have a small church, so therefore some board members that came on didn't even have children in school yet. And in a situation like that, it's pretty normal not to be very knowledgeable about the school because you were never part of it, you know, as a family. I mean, you know, I know in our situation we have some of the young fellows even coming into devotions, so something like that can happen, but you still don't really, it's not as much of a part of you until you have young children there.
So are you saying it may be okay to not know much about it?
Thing is sort of how it works.
Okay.
It happened to me. I mean, I got put on the floor. I had any children in school as well, and it, yeah, I didn't know nothing. I still don't really feel like I do. That's why I'm here.
So, do you have any advice for the younger ones, new ones coming up?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Anyone else want to contribute to this?
We don't take on an in-depth study of cancer remedies until we're diagnosed. Often, we don't feel the burden for raising our children until we look into the eyes of our firstborn. And so the fact that we analyze ourselves and say, you know, I don't know enough about this to be qualified, indicates that we care. And we're going to find out, and that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. So, as I looked at the young men in our congregation who just have preschoolers, and I don't see them at PTA very often, I realized that they're learning in other areas, and their time will come when they too will feel the burden of the school and will put forth that effort just like I did to gain that vision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, it's not all bad.
Okay, very good. Anyone else?
When I first moved in the community where we live at, I can say that the school was one of the first things that, even though I wasn't on the board, I was on the parent of school children. One of the first things that got me involved in the field of the church and the school and the interaction, all of a sudden there was a schedule there, be there for PTA, be there for school devotions, it created an interaction that very much made us feel close to the church and the school, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
I think far too often we're too concerned about what people think about us. We're afraid they're going to question our motives for what we're doing. And I agree with that, Brother. I felt the exact same way. I feel a lot of it was my own fault. I didn't get involved on purpose because I was afraid maybe even the school board's going to think, oh, he'd like to be on the board. He thinks he could run the school better than we can. And I know some of that feeling of maybe shrink back from getting involved like I should have been.
May I give you a piece of advice? Okay, you all know by now that I'm outspoken and blunt and frank sometimes. But you know what? I have discovered if you just be yourself everywhere, at church, at home, at school, be who you think God wants you. Stay close to the Lord. Don't get attitude issues. Just try to serve God with all your heart. And if you have a desire to visit school, do it. And don't worry about people think. Because these people know you already. They know your heart. And so let's not be so worried about what people think. I have found that, well, there's a couple of my people here. Simon back there knows me very well. They accept me just like I am. And they love me and they appreciate me for who I am. I know that. In spite of my bluntness and frankness and, you know, all of that. Yes?
We're thinking primarily about school and our attitude, but we can also, as a means to evaluate, we can look at, say, how we would like to relate to our youth groups, or to the elderly in our church, or to our local missions, or something like that. And even if we're not directly, personally involved, we can still show interest.
Yeah.
And I think it's true, like it was mentioned, that, you know, we have things that we're focusing on, and we can't be on top of everything. And it's not really our responsibility to be so. But we can still, it's still good to be involved where we can. And we can take the initiative and go to PTAs. If we have school picnics and the church is invited, we'll certainly be there. And so that's a good thing, too. And interact with school children on a basis where we have opportunity to be a friend. And, you know, we can extend ourselves.
Sure. And we ought to. You know, we are brethren. We ought to reach out into each other's lives, school, at home, at church, wherever. Yes.
And I do appreciate Alan for his outspoken personality.
Okay. Back to your question. Maybe we as a board need to do a better job of informing the church what's going on so that people know. You know, if there's a special event, like, let's say this week, they go to Mission Home. The upper graders go to Mission Home to interact with the special children there. We could announce that in church, and we often do that. I think we usually do that. Special events like field trips or achievement tests or anything that, anything unusual or anything special going on. The church has a right, yes, back there. Okay. It reminds me of, I was at an auction sale, and this is just a side. I was at an auction one time, and I just adjusted my hat, and the auctioneer said, "Sold." And he looked at me, "What's your number?" So I didn't buy anything. "Oh, I'm just adjusting my hat." So he had to sell it again. Anyway, back to maybe we just need to be more connected to the church. Let them know what's going on. And you frequently in church mention to school or ask for prayer or whatever. Any other thoughts? Yes.
You have some documents there to share about. Some of them wouldn't be maybe documents that you share with the whole church, but some of them wouldn't.
That's right.
You give that out at the beginning of the year, like that they're one with the, where the marking periods end and stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That there could be help them feel connected.
Yes. Okay.
One thing that we've tried to start doing is looking over the minutes previous to a PTA and sharing with the church those discussions, those issues that we've discussed that are appropriate and that are informational. It's in a sense, it feels like unnecessary information, but people enjoy it.
Okay.
Much like we enjoy when our ministers come back from a minister's meeting to hear a brief summary of the meeting. It's just good communication.
Right. Share with the church minutes of the previous meeting. Okay, good. Okay.
I think the question was good for me. This is my 7th year on the board now. You know, we get a little bit complacent, I think, but I like that idea right there. That's a good one. Admittedly, there's some reports that you held up that are confidential. I wouldn't feel right doing them. Sharing, putting everything out. But, you know, going through the minutes, I think that question challenged me, that maybe it's been more of a long time for them to be more proactive. People that are scared to look like they're trying to, you know, come on too strong. I mean, let's get them involved. I think the board needs to take the initiative to involve those.
And as was mentioned, we have this difference of personality. Some personalities are introvert. You know, they'd rather sit back, like Brother Wayne said, he'd rather sit back and let the others do it. And others are more aggressive. And so there needs to be a blending of those personalities. God made us all different for a reason. And that makes the church complete with all these different persons. And we need to figure out how to blend them together and respect each other. And if my rashness and bluntness offends you, it's your responsibility to tell me. And it's my responsibility to be careful, to try to be careful to not let that happen. And also, those of you that are introverts, you all need to get out of your shells and push yourself. Okay?
One thing that I learned at this meeting several years ago that has stayed with me is that if you're put on the board and you feel that your business, your family responsibilities, whatever it is, just simply don't allow you the time to give to this work, that you do your church and your school a tremendous favor to share that with them and resign.
Okay.
Now, I believe that completely, but what it's done for me has helped me to understand how important it really is to make the time.
Okay.
You know, I really wouldn't want to resign. That wouldn't be a very positive thing in many ways. But helps me understand how important it is to make that time.
Okay. Yes. Did everybody hear that? Okay.
One of the things that I think we need to remember as we're on the board, you know, if you're on for a number of years, we need to remember that we are accountable. We've been given responsibility, and we are accountable. We're accountable to the church leaders. We're accountable to the parents of the children that come to school. And one of the things that helped me visualize a little bit our accountability and our responsibility was the window in the mirror. If things go well, we need to point out the window. You know, it's God that helped. It's other people that did what they were asked to do. And if there's problems, we need to look in the mirror.
Okay, that's good. Look out the window and in the mirror. If things are going well, let's give God the glory. If there are problems, take responsibility. And guess what? If you ever get to be chairman, you're the one they're going to point to if there's problems. And rightly so. But for now, you just need to get in the harness and pull. Okay.
Appreciated William's comment on the big picture. You know, we have to remember as board members that some of these children that we're working with, that may be in first grade, they may be standing where you are right now someday. And when we look at that, it makes a seriousness in your heart.
Yeah, the vision. The vision for the big picture out in the future, yes. Okay, our time is up. Anything else before we shut it down? Okay.
I would just like to encourage those maybe who are first year ones to remember that it's part of the kingdom. It's part of the kingdom of God. You're working for that kingdom.
Yes.
And if you keep that in mind and keep that as your goal and your vision, it will inspire you to be involved, and God will give you the wisdom and the grace to be able to work through whatever you need, whatever He puts in front of you.
Very good.
Promise that.
Amen. Thank you for that. Anyone else quickly? Okay, thank you, Wayne, for what you shared, and all of you for your participation. We trust you enjoy the next session as well. God bless you for coming.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.